Hello, ladies.
Yes.
I thought Miss Emily was asking us questions. I got confused.
No, but I saw you start and I was so ready for that. I am here for it.
Hi, I'm Emma.
Hi, I'm Anaya.
Hi, I'm Emily, Youth Voices Manager here at WSKG.
And we are
The Other Side.
Hello. How's everybody's day been?
Really good. I'm happy to be here with you.
We're going to be talking about recapping the season and a little bit of last season, you know, compare and contrast.
I'm going to throw it to you first because of the three of us, you are the only one who is from last season.
Oh, yeah. That's what I want to know, since I haven't been too much on this season, is, you know, what is something that you liked? Because from the few episodes that I have been in here, it's totally different. Like, we didn't have you, sadly. And that would have been so much more helpful without, like, all feeling nervous. And it would have taken so much stress off of me. And we have everything planned. It's great.
That's really nice to hear. I like a plan. It makes me happy. So I'm glad that that was a good thing.
Since you watched all the episodes, is there anything that you wanted to implement in this season that you think you did or didn't do successfully?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think a big focus of this season was knowing we were going to shorten the episodes meant we had to be much more purposeful with the questions, with the preliminary things that we planned before we came into it. It unfortunately meant we couldn't bring on as many experts, but a big part of that made me very happy was it gave the actual teens, you guys, a chance to speak and follow your own trains of thought and follow those ideas and work through those. And that was really important to me because I wanted to hear from you specifically really driving that. So I'm very happy with how that all worked out.
That's actually what I noticed too. I remember first season, a lot of people that were on the podcast, we were kind of wanting our voices to be heard more. And although we had an amazing time with the experts and, you know, they gave us new information that we wouldn't have even found out by ourselves, it was more as if we were learning instead of talking about what we've learned. Either way, it was pretty good. I loved talking so much on the season. It filled me with immense joy, honestly.
Yay. That's great to hear. How about you for also newbie along with me?
I liked it. It was a little bit scary at first. I liked coming here. It gives me something to do. Also, I like being able to voice my opinions and like actually like talk about them in like a structured conversation. I don't really know how to word that.
Nope. I think that's accurate.
Being able to like sit down, have a mature conversation where, you know, everyone's okay with the topic, everyone's, you know, willing to accept different biases and everything. It's interesting hearing about other people's thought process on things. It's eye-opening.
Yeah, for sure.
To everyone's credit, all of the topics were selected and researched and followed up by you. And that's, in my opinion, that says a lot about the things that are on your mind and the things that you want to discuss and have that open discourse with. And that's incredible to me. As I've said many times off the show, I am impressed with the amount of information that you are bombarded with and your ability to navigate that and talk about it so meaningfully. That was not a thing I was doing as a teenager, even a little bit. No, it's genuinely cool. I'm impressed by you guys.
Thank you. I loved like doing the research before the podcast. Even season one, I would purposefully look at videos that were like informative about vaping and school shootings and all that stuff so I can be more informed and talk about it and speak my mind to the fullest extent when I'm on the podcast. And I loved how it just continued to be like that in season two.
The research part was pretty hard for me because I over-research things. And then I was sad that I couldn't talk about all the topics that I researched or like all of like the specific facts. And I like lose my train of thought like all the time. But I liked doing it because I did learn a lot. But it was just kind of a bummer. I couldn't, like, say all of it because, you know, they are short.
It's an interesting part about one that is going to be heavily edited. And as someone who also has a lot of thoughts and wants to go through all of them, I have to be mindful of what I am keeping and how many of those things are important and how many of them make a good episode versus what just makes me feel good about speaking about certain things. It's a balancing act. And what's nice about this is my goal is always things that you learn on this show and podcasting technique. Any of that translates to if you want to go and make your own content and own material on your own outside of the WSKG Youth Voices umbrella. You have that now, the knowledge base that you have from that, you can make as many fact-based videos as you like, and I can't time any of them. They're all yours to make.
I probably won't do that, but good to know.
I probably might. I love just talking about things I'm passionate about.
I just bother my mom.
No, you're downplaying it a little bit. And there was something I love, and it was a very specific moment from an episode that you had to carry because you were the one who showed up and you had done all this research. And to his credit, you know, Terrence also brought questions to you that you weren't prepared for, but you were able to navigate that and pivot that and still have a really good conversation and be vulnerable on topics that you admittedly didn't know as much about, but you could speak about your experience, and that is incredibly valuable.
Thank you. Thank you.
Do you have any advice, either of you, for students who want to get involved, who want to make podcasts, or want to possibly come on a show that is more structured like this?
Yeah, do it. It's so fun. I would say do it. It's a learning experience for sure. You get to be in the spotlight and, you know people are listening to you. You know that your opinions matter. And it's a moment that not many people can have. And it's important that you utilize, you know, what you can. Even if it's like not even going to like a big studio and doing all these things. Just like sitting at your house, recording a video, you know, if that's what you want to do, I would say do it. Use your voice for what you feel is right.
It's not as like terrifying as you think. I'm pretty extroverted, but I'm pretty scared in front of cameras. It really was not that scary. I was scared for like, I don't know, 20 minutes and then I was good. It's not like that hard. The research is like the hardest part. I mean, I'm sure editing is hard, but just talking isn't.
Talking's the easy part, because once you get going, you just can't stop.
In the best way, in the the conversations would find places to have either sticking points or moments of agreement, and that's a nice collaborative thing. And I think you can't have a podcast if people don't want to talk to each other. Sitting in silence makes for a very specific podcast, but not one that I'd want to listen to. So yeah. I would much rather hear what you're thinking and where those conversation paths lead.
I remember literally first season, I think I was like the quietest one. I talked, of course. It was just that moment I would feel so like nervous to like say anything or say something wrong that I ended up just kind of backseating a lot of the time. And you notice after a while of talking so much and you realize that I'm just talking in front of a camera. I'm not doing anything like insane. Like I'm not in front of a whole audience. It just gets so easy and it's hard, but the talking part, the getting over your fears part, it's all in your head and it's just, you just have to push through.
I just tell myself I'm not a celebrity. I won't get canceled. Because the most thing I was scared about was I was going to say something, like, really bad. And then, like, everyone find out that, like, I'm trash. I mean, I'm not. But, like, you know, maybe I am. Maybe I don't know. But I just repeat in my head, like, before I go and I'm like, I'm not a celebrity. Nobody can cancel me. I'm just a girl.
And this is something I think is important when it comes to making media. Something we try very hard to do here is not only set expectations for how we want the show to go, but also the understanding that we're not taping it live. We have the ability to edit something out if we misspeak or if we say something we're not comfortable with. There is that safety net of protecting you and allowing you the grace of if you express an opinion that you agree with now that you might disagree with later, that's okay. You're allowed to learn from those experiences. And I think it's important to kind of have that agreement before you get in front of the microphone so that you feel safe to be able to not worry about getting canceled.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it weird to now listen to your voice back on the podcast?
I feel like I don't sound like me at all. I've had a couple people agree on that. I don't know why. I don't know how. It just really doesn't sound like me. And it's not just because, like, I'm just hearing my voice back. I listen to myself talk, like, all the time.
Oh, my God. Even now, I struggle to listen to an episode. Like, I can't. Like, you would have to strap me down and be like, listen. Because that's what happens. Every time I have to, like, listen to the podcast and it's my voice, I always just bite my tongue and just, like, just get, it's fine. It's fine. Nobody even knows. It's fine. But listening to my own voice on recording has been a humbling experience for sure.
Absolutely.
I did not know I sounded like that. That's just how my voice sounds. I've come to the conclusion, sadly.
Yeah, you're still a baddie. It's okay.
You have a great voice. You both have great voices. I had to really sit with what I sounded like on recordings, and I had to make peace with my ums and my likes and my pauses and the different ways that I would get lost down thought paths. But as hard as that is, one, editing them out helps a lot. And because if I'm forced to listen to them, I understand what I'm doing and can try to improve from there. But I do think it made me a more confident speaker. And that's really important, being able to articulate yourself and converse with people in scenarios that are not the most comfortable is a good skill to have at any point. So the fact that you're already tackling that before you're even an adult is incredible.
Yeah. I had an experience like that with the likes and the ums, but I said, oh boy, in the deepest voice that I have ever heard myself have.
I remember walking in like my mom's room. And she was listening to the podcast, and I was going to ask her something. I did a whole U-turn. I was not about to listen to my voice.
It's so embarrassing.
There's something so embarrassing about talking for so long. And like,
yes.
Like, why do you know my viewpoints? Why do you know that I like this and I don't like this? That's
like
a
you're
lot.
Choosing to listen to me talk. Why are you doing that?
To that point, I'm very curious. Is this a project that you would like to share, we'll say twofold, with people that you know closely or with strangers on the internet? Is that something you feel comfortable sharing?
It's already out there. You know, yeah, I can't control anything. I got to a point where I was like, by the second episode, I'm like, what's the point of me hiding this? Like, it is free range.
I told my whole family. I think the only people who have watched it is my mom and my dad.
My entire lineage has seen the podcast. So. Oh, my mom is loud. She posted on Facebook about 30 times, and then that made my uncle and aunties and all. Every single time I go to a family cookout, whatever event, it is always, so sorry, are you on that podcast? Are you on that podcast still? I listened to an episode. You were great. You were great. I'm like, thank you. Thank you. That's so great.
I like that.
They're amazing. They're my biggest supporters. I love my family.
That's really nice.
I love mine too, but I wouldn't want to listen to me talk any more than I already forced them to.
To something that you had said, it's an interesting difference between just casual conversation you have at home when you're talking about it versus something like this that is more structured. It's on a specific topic. And because you are addressing it to your co-hosts and not to that specific person, it is a different way to have some of these talks.
Kind of feels like an eavesdropping.
It feels less offensive if I like talk about something that could be controversial, I guess, because people have different viewpoints and some people aren't willing to even be swayed in a different opinion. It's amazing to be in this environment where it's not we're talking to get to an argument, but to an understanding and find the bigger picture of things instead of, I'm right, you're wrong. This is how it should be.
Like, it's not like a debate.
Exactly. But even debates should be about coming to a complete understanding. And when we do have opposite viewpoints, it's great that we can still, at the end, be friends, understand that you think this way, I think that way. And that's fine because you have valid points, I have valid points.
Yeah.
And it's great.
I think having space to be able to talk through points and show your points fully and not be shut down or any of that, I think is super important. And I think the ability to work through that type of discourse that's very cordial is important. And specifically, the two of you, I think, did a great job with that on tougher topics or things that you maybe did disagree a little bit, but it was always very civil and it was always very cooperative.
Absolutely.
I want to ask you, Emma.
Oh, gosh.
What was something that you found really memorable about the podcast, either off camera or on camera?
I really liked the talks that we have before doing the podcast. I like planning out and then like joking around.
Right.
I think that's fun. I probably just like that. And I really liked our episode that we did together. I feel like we made some really good points. They resonated with me, like all your opinions and your points that you were making.
I love that. I love our talks before the podcast. It's so human, I guess. Like, it's not structured at all. We're just throwing ideas at each other. And it's like, we get excited when we find something that hits and we're like, oh, we need to talk about this. And we're excited.
And are after it.
Like, exactly. And we keep talking about it. It's so fun. I love being happily educated on things.
The nice thing about a podcast is you can recommend something that expresses your viewpoints or aligns with them and share that. And I think it's a new way to have people think about those topics alone in their own time. And like you said, not in a confrontational way. Do you feel that pressure that you feel like you have to be on top of everything?
It doesn't feel like we have to. Well, it does. And it does at the same time. It doesn't feel like, oh, you need to know this. You need to know that. Like, no one's telling us to do that. No one's telling us that you have to know these things. It's just like so much is going on that if you ignore it, what type of person are you? It's the type of thing where it's, are you going to be a bystander or are you going to do something about it? And either if it's wrong or right, being a bystander is always going to be a negative thing. You don't just want to stare at something that's burning and not try and help. There's like this expectation that we have now, at least our generation, especially with social media. Everyone's talking about it. Everyone knows that this is a thing. So why would you ignore it? It's very performative. A lot of people performatively act as if they understand something when they don't.
Or care.
And I think it's because of that expectation.
It can be because social media is so performative so often. I think it can feel additionally difficult to be vulnerable, to admit that you don't know something or you're unsure about something, or even I have now learned new information and I'm changing my perspective. I think that can be a very hard place to be in. And it is why I think conversations like this are important, but that requires a willingness to admit that you're wrong, or that admit that something that you had held true for a long time maybe isn't true anymore. And I think that is a hard thing for a lot of people to do.
Definitely.
I feel like I want conversations like this to be more regular within just personal spaces. It doesn't need to be online or anything. I think allowing conversations like this to be out in the open, it invites somebody, you know, accepting that they can be wrong and accepting that there's information out there that you don't even know about that you can take in without judgment. It feels like we're in a certain time period where it's a lot of judging and it's like, why don't you know this? How could you think this way? And it's not more focused on the growth of somebody. And I think allowing these types of conversations to kind of infiltrate your friend group, it's so beneficial and it's so enriching.
I definitely agree with you. There's a good mix between mature conversations and then joking around with your friends.
I have a question along this, and it was something we talked about at the very first meeting, but we talked about civic engagement and what that means. And I very much view this open forum for talking about these topics and putting out a product that could help other people as civic engagement. Does that feel that way on your end?
I feel like this podcast was maybe the most meaningful thing that we did in Unity, at least this year. I feel like it got much more messages out and we like achieved something.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think this could totally be classified as civic engagement. It is purely an educational podcast. It's sharing our ideologies, and I hope it inspires other young voices to, you know, stand up and use their voice for what they believe is right. So totally, I think this is civic engagement. What did you, Emily, find, you know, the most, I guess, impactful, like, about this whole season two?
I'm going to be really, really cheesy because it's who I am deep to my core. I am just genuinely so impressed by you guys. I am impressed by the world that you currently live in and what you have to deal with. And we talked about it a little bit in the generational differences. I had an opportunity to grow up without the internet. I had time to be away from all of that. I didn't have to spend some of my tougher years with the threat of having a camera on me during that, or that type of pressure. And to be able to navigate that and still keep true to your morals and have this strong sense of who you are and who you want to be, and that openness to also learn and grow, is genuinely impressive to me. To have so many people who have different life experiences show up each week and talk about that and talk about it with passion and enthusiasm and hard work is exciting. It's you guys.
Oh, shucks.
Me.
Sweet. Oh my gosh. That's amazing. I definitely wish I was born in a era where I didn't have to be scared that somebody was recording me or anything, or something I said would be stabbing me in the back.
Yeah, that is kind of a bummer.
Any final thoughts as we reflect back on this second season?
Kind of bummed that Anaya's leaving.
Oh my god, yeah, I'm graduating.
Yeah, stop that.
You get to go on to the next big thing.
You know, I'm actually, ironically, I'm sitting in the exact same spot my best friend that was graduating was stop in when she started the podcast.
Aww. How about you?
I thought it was really nice. I enjoyed doing it. I'll probably do it next year too. Yeah, but I really liked working with everybody. I loved working with you, Miss Emily. You're very kind. I feel like all the topics and all of the episodes that I've so far come out that I've seen have been good and have really done a good job at showing the other side.
She said the thing.
No, these 2 years have been so fun. I'm so happy I got this opportunity to speak my mind and be around such intelligent people and have intelligent conversations. It's been great, and I'll definitely miss it.
Do you want to say goodbye for the last time?
I'm Anaya.
I'm Emma.
I'm Emily.
And this was a teen's take
on this season
of The Other Side.
The Other Side is a production of 4-H Unity and WSKG Youth Voices. You can find more of us at wskg.org/theotherside or wherever you get your podcasts. Our executive producers are Brianna Moreno and Kelly Mabey. Community educators, Terrence Barcliffe, Aaron Every, and Dave Itwilliger. Sound engineering by Seth Nichols. Executive producer is Christine Dempsey, and producer Emily Swan. Thank you to our fellow teen leaders for feedback and support. See you next time on The Other Side.